Going Linux, episode 140, listener feedback. Welcome to the Going Linux podcast. I'm your host, Larry Bushy.
And I'm your co-host, Tom.
Whether you are new to Linux, moving from Windows to Linux, or just thinking about upgrading to Linux, this podcast will provide you with valuable information and advice that will help you in going Linux. In today's episode, listener feedback.
We hope that you'll find this and all of our episodes helpful in learning about Linux and its applications and using them to get things done.
Well, today's episode of Going Linux is brought to you by Audible.com.
Once again. As always, right now, to receive your audiobooks, you'll need to use Audible's proprietary player in Windows, or Windows in a Virtual Machine, or Wine, since they don't yet have a player that runs natively under Linux. If you have one of those options available to you, then we have a special URL that lets you sign up for a free audiobook and a 14-day free trial.
And if you can't or won't run Windows or the proprietary audio player, we'd like you to sign up for your free trial, then contact Audible at audible.custhelp.com to let them know that you want a Linux player so that you can listen to their content. If you're an open source software developer, we'd love it if you would contact Audible at greatideas@audible.com and help them in their efforts to develop a player for Linux.
The place to get your special offer from Audible is audiblepodcast.com/goinglinux. And you get a free audiobook and a 14-day trial by signing up at audiblepodcast.com/goinglinux. That's audiblepodcast.com/goinglinux.
Well, Tom, you're laughing already because you know what's coming.
Yeah.
I did the upgrade to Ubuntu 11.04, and I actually did a fresh install, as I always do, and everything looked nice. I really wanted to like the Unity interface. I really, really wanted to like it. I gave it an extra chance. I gave it a third chance. I gave it a fourth chance. And it failed me all the way. I am so disappointed. It's beautiful. It really looks nice, but it's not ready yet.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that over and over.
Yeah, I know it's early days, and I know that... You know, there's a lot more development to be done, and I know this isn't a long-term support release, but oh boy.
It should be. Ubuntu is the distribution that we've been pushing for newbies. You know, here's a disk, just put it in your drive and look at it, and if you want, you can install it, and it just works. Well, it just doesn't work.
Yeah, not anymore. It might work for a newbie who doesn't play with any of the settings and doesn't install anything that's not in the Ubuntu Software Center.
And doesn't need to necessarily use his printer or dual monitors or on and on.
Yeah, well, you know, dual monitors seems to work okay. In Ubuntu 11.04. It's everything else. I mean, yeah, printers for me, I don't know how to say this, Tom, but it was very frustrating, very frustrating. And I don't know whether it's because I've got a unique setup or what, but
I'm hearing it all over the place.
I've got a nice printer, a nice Samsung printer, and it requires a proprietary driver, and up until now on any flavor of Ubuntu, Linux Mint, several others, it has installed no problem at all. When I went to install it on Ubuntu 11.04 with the Unity interface, and I don't think it's the Unity interface, I think it's 11.04, It required a few extra unusual twists to the way I installed it. For example, when I went to install it, I had to make some changes to the files to make them run, you know, the make them executable.
Right.
Then I ran everything. And it seemed to start the install okay, and then it told me, we can't use the graphical installer that we used in all of these other versions, right, prior versions of Ubuntu. So let's go to the text installer. And I thought, okay, well, fine. Let's go to the text installer. So I use the text installer, and it seems to install just fine. No errors, no problems. Puts a little icon on my desktop, which I promptly delete because I don't want that icon on my desktop. But I go to the menu and run the equivalent icon that's in the menu, and the printer doesn't start up. Okay, what's going on here? Take a look in the terminal. Find out what the error message is. It needs to be root. Why would a printer need to be root? Oh, wait a minute. No, it's not the printer. One of the files under the OPT directory, I think it was, required me to change it so that it was executable, which I never had to do before. It always took care of that automatically. Once I made that change, everything ran fine, but it's all these extra little tweaks and twists and things. And
you had an out-and-out crash too, didn't you?
Oh, I did. Everything just went done. I forget what I was doing now. Well, I am running Zubuntu, which is 11.04 with the XFCE interface.
Okay. And for listeners, that's XUBUNTU.
That's right. And it seems to be running just fine. I haven't tried installing the printer yet, so we'll see how that goes. But everything seems to work a little bit better. I'm hoping that we don't have any crashes. Certainly, I wish I could remember what caused the crash. Do you remember what I told you, Tom? I don't remember what I said.
I think it was in the process of setting up the printer, and it messed up your grub. You thought you lost your hard drive.
Yeah, I don't think that was the printer, but there was something like that. Yeah, so it was, that's exactly what it did. It messed up to the point where I couldn't boot.
Right, and the fix for that was to put the install CD, the live CD, back in and upgrade from 11.04 to 11.04, which I don't understand.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting that Ubuntu gives you that option, but that seemed to work okay. And it got me back up and running, but I was just frustrated with some of the other applications that wouldn't run properly, that I thought, okay, I really want this thing to work, and maybe when they get it to a stable release, I'll go back to it. But let's try out something else. And at one of our listeners' suggestions, I thought, okay, well, I may switch to Linux Mint, but let's try Zubuntu first. And so far, it's been going okay. Like I said, I haven't tried installing the printer yet. And if I meet with the same obstacle there, I may not be running Zubuntu the next time we talk.
Yeah.
But if the printer goes in okay, I've got other things working okay with the XFCE interface. One of the things that I've noticed is that, at least into the Ubuntu version, it does not come with a dual monitor setup utility. There is a built-in utility in the menu that allows you to change your monitor settings, your display resolution, but you can't set it up if you have two monitors. You can't set it up in any configuration other than a mirrored, in other words, the same thing displayed on both monitors, which
right.
for me is a problem because one monitor is long and skinny and the other monitor is tall. And so one of them is chopped off if I do that. So I really wanted to be able to extend my monitor, as they call it. So have one monitor is to the left, one monitor is to the right, and I can drag a window across. That's what an extended monitor is. In order to make it work, I had to install an additional utility that gave me another graphical setup program for the XR&R program that comes on Zubuntu that actually controls your monitor. And I could have set it up using the command line, but I wanted something that I could adjust graphically like you do in Ubuntu.
Right.
You know, when you set up your monitors, you can choose which goes where, and if you want to move them around on the screen, you can move them around on the screen. So the utility that I installed was AR&R, A-R-A-N-D-R. And that is a graphical front end to the XR&R, and it works just fine. And
good.
That finally gave me the ability to do the dual monitor setup.
Bottom line, not ready for prime time. If you see upgrade available to 11.04 at the top of your update manager, just ignore that for now.
Yeah, for now, until I get a stable long-term support release, which I'm hoping they will come out with shortly. And is it the next release that's supposed to be long-term support? Or is the one after that? I forget.
I don't know.
Yeah, there's still some work to be done. I'm sure they will fix it. I mean, look what the KDE crew did with KDE. They started out with 4.0, which was a big mess, and it is now quite nice.
Yeah.
I don't think the Ubuntu folks with Unity were in quite as much of a mess, but it's not ready for me, at least at this point. Maybe for, like I said, maybe for somebody who doesn't make any setting changes and is just using it to browse the web and using standard stuff out of the Ubuntu repositories, it might just work fine. But for me, no.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, if there's anything at all that you have to go to the terminal for, that puts it out of the playing field for noobs.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It should just work graphically. And in fact, ideally, when you plug something in, it should recognize it, install what's necessary, and run.
Take it away, right. Or ask you if you want to install proprietary software.
Right. At least give you the choice.
Right.
Or, you know, whether it's proprietary software or even the free software, if it had even asked you, that would be fine. But
right.
In this case, it just doesn't work, let alone ask you whether you want to install something. So it's got a little ways to go, that's for sure. And I'm going to keep experimenting with Zubuntu, and hopefully it won't fail me. And what I'm hoping is that the problems that I saw were not as a result of the 11.04, that rather they were a result of Unity,
right.
The new Unity interface. So we'll see how that goes, Tom.
If it's the new kernel, then you might be off to OpenSUSE or something.
Well, if it's the kernel, that's going to affect every Linux distribution, right?
Oh,
so, but
true.
It, yeah. Yeah, so it may be something that our friends at Ubuntu have done, Canonical have done, as opposed to somebody else. But we'll see. We'll see. Let's not belabor it anymore. So what's new in your world, Tom?
Oh, well, not a lot, Larry. I wisely avoided 11.04, so I'm still on 10.04 and happy with it, and it's long-term support till April of 2013, so no problems on this end. Nothing new. Well, should we get into our listener feedback?
I think we should.
Okay.
All right, we've got a couple of voicemails. The first one is from Aaron, who tells us about a program called Plop for installing from USB.
Let's listen
to what Aaron has to say. Yeah.
Hey, Tom and Larry. My name's Aaron. I'm from the Clarkston, Michigan area. I enjoy your program. I listen to almost exclusively to Linux podcast. I called to tell you about a Hack Republic Radio. It's number 644, about using a program called Plop. It's an ISO that you burn to help boot a USB stick of Linux. It helps where the BIOS doesn't support booting from USB. What I really enjoyed about that program was how much faster it is to install Linux to a USB stick instead of burning it to a CD and it's almost twice as fast of putting a version of Linux on your computer than using a CD. There's your program and several other programs have been talking a lot about that lately, about burning CDs or using a USB stick to install. Thought you'd enjoy that little piece of information.
Okay, thanks, Aaron. The USB thing has kind of taken on a life of its own. Everybody seems to have their own opinion as to what's good, what's not. I think I remember listening to that HPR episode and thinking that Plop was something interesting. Certainly sounds very useful. What do you think?
It does sound interesting, and I'm wondering if that's a persistent install, because that's really what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we should read up on it, but we'll have a link in the show notes for those of you who do want to read up on it or even try it. And we'll take it from there. If you have any comments after using it, let us know.
Sure. And thanks, Aaron. And next up, we've got another audio from Bob. And shall we listen to that?
Sure, let's do that.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Larry. This is Bob. I'm currently running Ubuntu 10.10. That's the one the version I'm running. Now, I finally had to jump through a lot of hoops to get my hardware working and a lot of compatibility issues. And in a lot of cases, some of my hardware, I had to buy new hardware to replace because it just was not compatible. Now that I'm all normalized and for the most part, I still have work to do, but I'm comfortable with what I have now. The latest version just came out, which is 11.04, I believe. And I'm kind of nervous here. I don't want to do it. It keeps asking me for an upgrade, and I've heard about problems with upgrades that sometimes they don't always work so well. I believe there was an episode that you guys had where you said don't you do the upgrade, just do a fresh install. Now, if I do the fresh install, well, I have to go through all this compatibility problems all over again, and will I have to buy new hardware for the hardware that I just bought that didn't work with the last version to work with the newer version? I hope I don't run into that kind of situation, but if you can give me some advice, I'd appreciate it. It'd be nice if I could just stick with what I have now, but then I wouldn't have the latest version. I don't know if that's so much of a problem. I don't know how long they'll support that version. And maybe if you just give me your best, what you think for my situation, what the best advice would be. That's my question. Thank you.
Actually, Larry, what? I called Bob back.
Oh, you did?
I did. And I left a message on his answering machine. And I told him, leave it alone. Don't upgrade. What you have is working, and listen to the next show, and we'll explain a little better. And first of all, when you upgrade, there is the chance that you're going to break something, so make sure you've got a backup. But in this case, don't upgrade. That's my advice. 11.04, as you just heard us say, is not ready for prime time, and there's no reason to take a chance on it.
Right, and to answer the more general question Bob had is, if he does upgrade, let's just assume that we're upgrading from a stable version to a stable version, does he need to go through all the hardware compatibility stuff again, and will he have to buy new hardware? And the answer there should be no. You may have to go through installing the drivers again if you have some proprietary product that requires special drivers. Yeah, you'll have to install those, but you should be able to install the same driver that you had before. And if you actually do an upgrade rather than a fresh install, it may actually still be there completely installed and completely functional, or you may have to go through the setup again. It really depends on the driver and how it was installed and how the developer designed it. But as far as buying new hardware, no. If you're staying within the same distribution, like Ubuntu, or if you're with SUSE or Fedora or whatever you're with, as long as you're upgrading from one version of that distribution to the next, generally speaking, if the hardware worked before, it'll work again with your upgrade. All right.
Okay. Bottom line, leave it alone for now.
Yeah, yeah, for now, for now. So our next email, Tom, is from Roy. Roy provided this advice. Hi, Larry and Tom.
Hi, Hi, Roy.
In response to Tom's failure trying GNOME Shell, what I do after installing GNOME Shell is bring up a terminal and type the following command, gnome-shell --replace. This will change the desktop to the GNOME Shell interface. To return the desktop to normal, use the Control-C keystroke in the terminal, and you should be returned to the normal GNOME desktop. Keep up the great work, guys. Regards, Roy.
So what do you think, Larry? Should I try that right now?
If you have GNOME Shell installed, you could try it.
Let's see. Apt-get.
Oh, you haven't got GNOME Shell installed?
I don't know.
Do you really want to install something in the middle of recording?
Yes, I do. You know me.
I thought I was bad enough having to install three operating systems over the last week.
Oh, okay. GNOME Shell is already the newest version, it says. So.
Okay.
Okay. Now. Risky business. I'll try highlighting it again, and not this time I'll use Control-C. Control-C.
So if after you do this, my voice starts sounding...
There we are. All right. See you, Larry. I'm about to hit enter.
Go for it.
And seems like it's... Oh. Okay, the hard drive's running. All kinds of stuff's going on the screen.
Okay.
Don't know if I'm still recording.
Yeah, I don't know if you're still recording, but I can still hear you.
Okay. You were gone for a second.
Yeah, you were gone too.
There's lots and lots of activity here. Very scary stuff. Oh, boy. All kinds of warnings. The last warning is application calling GLX 1.3 function, something about PixMap. GLX 1.3 is not supported. This is an application bug. Okay, so Control-C. And I got pretty much nothing.
Okay.
We're back.
Okay. All right. So much for that experiment.
Yeah, well, that was very thrilling.
Had you had GNOME Shell working at all before?
No.
Okay, so maybe there are some things that need to be installed.
Yeah, yeah.
Or changed or something.
Yeah, I'm all done risk-taking for now, though.
Well, at least for this recording.
Yeah. Okay, and I got all kinds of stuff here that's out of order in the bottom tray, but that's all right. I'll be able to find where I am.
Okay. So thanks, Roy, for that exciting experience.
Yes, thanks for that advice, and we'll see if we can work that out.
Yeah. So at least we know that works. I know that command, Tom, if you use compiz --replace or metacity --replace, you can switch to, you know, Metacity,
sure,
which is the standard out-of-the-box interface, or you can use compiz and switch between the two from the command line using those commands. So
right.
I'm not surprised that the one for GNOME Shell is gnome-shell --replace.
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like it didn't work because your GNOME Shell isn't installed properly, maybe.
Maybe so. But it was definitely got my heart going. All right. So next next up, we've got one from Brad. And you said a listener suggested XFCE, and I think this might be the guy.
This is the guy.
Brad says, have you guys tried XFCE of late? It's really a GNOME-ish 2 type interface, except in my opinion, better, and 11.4 Zubuntu includes XFCE version 4.8. I attached a couple of pics of it. I'm thinking this really is the killer desktop that will possibly replace GNOME 2, since along with LXDE, it seems to be the most conventional. And he did send a screenshot, and it's probably very much like what you're looking at right now, Larry.
Yes, it is. It's very, very similar, and so far it's working just fine. Like I said, I'll find out when I go to try to install my printer and some of the other stuff that gave me fits and starts with Unity.
Yeah.
So
we're starting to say Unity like Windows.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll get it fixed. I hope.
I have tried both XFCE and LXDE, and they are both exceptional, kind of simplistic, but fast, really fast booting, and if you've got an older machine, very, very slick, very fast.
Yeah, very true. And unfortunately for the newbie, they do tend to require a little more tweaking and a little more setup to make them work the way you would want. Whereas with Linux Mint or Ubuntu, it all just looks fine out of the box. And generally speaking, you don't have to, as a newbie, know how to do too much to have a completely functional system. With XFCE and LXDE and so on, it does require a little more expertise.
Yep.
So not necessarily for the newbie. So thanks, Brad. Our next email is from Brian, who wrote about his monitor headaches. different monitor headaches than the ones I've been having. So Brian wrote us, hi, Larry. Hi, Brian.
What am I, chopped liver?
Hey, our audience out there, make sure you include Tom in the greeting, even though you're communicating with me by email.
That's all right. That's all right.
It would be nice to include him. Anyway.
I'm just going to go sit over here.
There, Tom. I'm sure he meant to include you as well. Yeah. You continue to be the people I turn to when problem solving. I changed person to people just to make it more inclusive, Tom.
Thank you.
I first tried searching Google and the Ubuntu forums, but didn't have any luck finding my issue, or at least the wording I used didn't pull up anything useful. My problem is with one of my Dell PC towers running Ubuntu 11.04. I have a screen problem and attached two pictures to show you. What I'm experiencing is most of the monitor has lines or is whited out. I can even see a trace of the Ubuntu with the orange dots on that screen too. I've tried adjusting the monitor settings in Ubuntu, no luck. I've tried adjusting the monitor from the monitor's built-in menu, no luck. I've swapped the monitor cables between my two Ubuntu PCs. It displayed Ubuntu 10.10 beautifully, and the same monitor that previously had 10.10 displayed the same horrible image I got from the new version of Ubuntu. I've tried shutting down and restarting the computers a dozen times, no luck. What makes me think it's an operating system error is this. Every time I've restarted or shut down the computer, the desktop for about 1 second becomes completely crystal clear before turning off. I didn't know if you encountered this error or have had listeners encounter this error. Thanks for your time, Brian.
Okay, so before we answer that Brian's question, Larry, Brian wrote back again, and he said, "Dear Larry," cricket sounds. "The monitor didn't clear up even after I did a clean install of OpenSUSE to see if it was a type of Linux. What I found is that the screen is crystal clear when booting up. All that tiny text that's reporting what it's doing and shutting down. But when it's just the main desktop, it looks awful. I'm not a computer expert, but I highly suspect it has something to do with the graphics card or something along those lines. I opened up the PC tower only to find tons of dust and cobwebs, so I took a vacuum hose to it. It will be a rainy day project to take apart and snap back in the boards to see if it's a loose connection. Thank goodness I had two PCs and their hand-me-downs, or I would feel terrible. So, I apologize for bothering you. It's frustrating when you don't have any friends that are computer geeks and could problem solve with me. Take care, Brian S. Well, maybe you'd have more friends if you called them by name. Oh.
No bitterness.
No,
there.
No, none. It's okay. I'm fine. Okay, Brian, I don't really understand. This seems to be like a never mind.
Yeah, but it's not really a never mind, is it?
No. He's still got the same problem.
Yeah.
And it looks like he still had the same problem on OpenSUSE.
And that leads me to believe that maybe it is a driver issue. Maybe it's a hardware issue, hardware support issue with an upgraded kernel, because the latest version of OpenSUSE and the latest version of Ubuntu do have an upgraded kernel, I believe, from what was in 10.10. So maybe it's a kernel driver issue for the monitor. And you might want to take a look at that. Or you could always do as Tom does, stick with the older version. If it's not broke,
right. Don't
fix it.
Right.
Yeah. And we're ones to talk.
Yeah.
Oh, late breaking news, Tom. I have an email here from Rich. And Rich says, Shuttleworth had an online chat. The title of his email is Classic Gnome. And Shuttleworth has, let me send you the link so we can both look at, this is literally just happened. So copy.
Okay.
And let's see if this pastes fine. Yes, it does. There we go. It says on Unity 15.11, there are lots of people for whom it isn't the best.
You said 15.11.
Yeah, I did. I'm reading from this guy's email now.
Okay.
So Rich says on Unity, and then in parentheses he says 15.11. So that may be a time sync in the chat. He says there are lots of people for whom it isn't the best. That's Unity. On what appears to be a reference to a non-shell GNOME in 11.10. You will certainly be able to have a close to vanilla GNOME 3 experience in 11.10, and the deltas will be for good reason. Okay, so here we go. So you scroll down to 15.11, the time sync on the right-hand side.
Oh, okay.
15.11.
Okay. Okay, I see it.
15.11. So where is Shuttleworth? Is that the
SABDFL or something?
Oh, okay. All right. There are lots of... Okay, so Shuttleworth is saying there are lots of people for whom it isn't the best, but we had to choose a default position. I think we walked that line admirably. I appreciate the open discussion that was had and made me more confident in the final position. And then about 15:25 in the timestamps. Let's see here. Shuttleworth says, our default position is to try and make that happen. Well, wait a minute. The question posed to Shuttleworth is, how does Unity plan to take advantage of the new offerings of GNOME 3 in terms of new approach or new user experience? Unity was huge, and that was before GNOME 3. What potential improvements are waiting on GNOME 3? And Shuttleworth says, I'm looking forward to having all of GNOME 3 in Ubuntu, and I think we'll achieve that in Oneric. That would be the next release. It's certainly a hot topic in the agenda for UDS next week. I also think there continues to be lots of areas of collaboration between work done in GNOME and Unity and elsewhere. Our final position is to try and make that happen, but also to be willing to go in the direction we think will give end users the best experience. Based on evidence, you will certainly be able to have a close to vanilla GNOME 3 experience in 11.10, and the deltas will be for good reason. Contrary to popular belief, even distros that claim to be vanilla often carry a lot of patches, so I feel that GNOME in Ubuntu will be faithfully conveyed. And there's a great part of Ubuntu community that cares about that and is invested in making it happen. That's why we have GNOME 3 PPA today.
Okay, so they're going to continue to support GNOME.
Right. And just listening to this, Tom, did you install GNOME using the PPA on your GNOME 3?
Am I running GNOME 3?
GNOME Shell.
Oh, No. I didn't.
Oh, okay.
How is that done?
I think GNOME Shell requires GNOME 3, which may be why it's not running for you.
Ah, okay. Oh, yeah, and I think that's what the errors were about.
Right. So back to the chat here. It's in the Ubuntu.com IRCs. We'll include a link to the chat logs in the show notes. Yeah. So very interesting. It looks like Ubuntu will be moving a little closer to GNOME 3 in the way it works, which is a good thing, I think. Let's try to keep things standard, in my opinion.
Yeah.
So that's the late breaking news, Tom.
Okay.
That's what we get for me looking at email during the recording.
Yeah. Next up, Curtis commented on Larry's appearance on the NoSillaCast podcast. Curtis says, Larry.
Hey, Curtis.
Your podcast. Your podcast is one of my favorites. However, I have a wide range of interest in computers and also am a big fan of Allison's show. So imagine my delight when I started listening to her latest show and found that you were a guest on it. My experience has been that Mac people look down on other platforms and as a result usually don't interact with other groups. This made it even more special. Thanks again for a wonderful show, this time on the NoSillaCast. Look forward to your next show with Tom. Curtis. Oh, good. I did get in there.
You did get in there.
Okay.
And just by way of explanation, NoSillaCast, if you take the cast off and spell NoSilla backwards, it spells Allison. And Allison Sheridan is the host of the NoSillaCast, and she bills that podcast as a geeky podcast with an ever so slight Macintosh bias. And in order to make it less Macintosh biased, she invited me to be on the show. And so we talked a little bit about Linux. And as a matter of fact, in our previous episode, Tom, I included a snippet of the NoSillaCast, the portion where I was the guest. So if you are listening to every single one of our casts, you will have heard that on our previous user experience episode. I included the tutorial on Audacity from one of our listeners, and after that I also included my portion of the appearance on the NoSillaCast.
Right.
And our final email is from the Podcast Alley site where you can go to vote for us. And this is a comment left by one of our listeners there. And it's from Igro George.
Well done.
I think that's how you pronounce. We'll find out when he gets back to us, he or she. The topic was ways to practice safe computing. And Igro George says, hello, Larry and Tom.
Hello, Igro George.
Hello, Igro George. You can't wait to listen to how you pronounce my name in your salutation. Well, let's see how close we got. Here is an idea for some future podcast: how to practice safe computing using Linux. You could answer questions like, do I need to use any antivirus software with Linux? How do I ensure my email attachments will not infect my PC or others I communicate with? What statistics demonstrate the number of Linux users and their growth rate? How might this growth rate influence those who are writing malware? How many viruses are released each day for Windows, Mac, Linux, and others. Thanks for all your shows. I have really enjoyed them. I also have a suggestion on how new users should listen to your podcasts. First, you guys do a great job of always assuming your listeners are not Linux experts and may have never heard of Linux. Because of this fact, I would suggest that any new listeners not listen to your podcasts in the order that you recorded them. I suggest your new listeners consume your podcasts the same way we all consumed the Star Wars trilogies. We first watched the three movies with Harrison Ford, Mark Hamill, and Carrie Fisher. Years later, we all watched the second trilogy, and these movies were actually a prequel. I have been listening to your podcast for the last month. I started with the three most recent episodes. Each day, I would download three and listen to just those three in chronological order. This helped me to understand current Linux issues immediately while still learning the basics. I recommend this technique for all of your listeners. Sincerely, Agro George.
Well, thanks, EG. I see what he means. Listen to the most recent ones, and then if you want to go back and listen to the older ones, yada yada. And as far as the suggestions of viruses in Linux compared to viruses on other platforms, that I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we've touched on it through various episodes of the podcast, but we've never consolidated it all together. It's probably a good opportunity to review that topic anyway. So maybe we can include that in a future episode.
I'm going to put that in my basket notes.
All right. So that would be it for our emails for this time, Tom. I have a software pick too.
Oh, good. What do you have?
This is for the XFCE desktop. It's AR&R. You'll need it if you have a dual monitor set up, and it works quite nicely. It's very simple interface. You just drag and drop, and it does all the setup for the script for XR&R and does all of that graphically. It's just one of those Linux, Unix-type tools that just works one function but does it extremely well.
Very good. And I have a software pick. It's not new software by any means. It's called GP Rename. And if you're running GNOME, yeah, maybe even if you're not running it, you could probably use it. And all it's a very powerful file renaming utility. So, for instance, you've got a bunch of files, and they're numbered, and it puts the number 10 in front of the number 1. Well, you can go in and grab all the ones that start with 1 and turn that into 0-1 so that they come out in the right order, or whatever. You can select a bunch of files and intelligently rename them. That's GP Rename, yeah, and it's graphical.
It's graphical, yeah. I know there are a lot of powerful command line tools for doing that, but I haven't seen a graphical one. This is great.
Works good.
All right. Well, our next episode will be using Ubuntu 11.04.
Well,
maybe not. That was what I was intending. But maybe it'll be using Zubuntu 11.04.
Or something,
Or something else. Anyway, we'll have a nice user experience episode. In fact, if it's done in time, I am going to be recording an interview with Nightwise, who is our favorite Belgian podcaster, and he has been putting Ubuntu on a Mac. And so I'm going to have a discussion with him on how to do that. We've had some discussion and some help from our friend Klaatu on that when we've had questions about it, but Nightwise has been experimenting around, so looking forward to that, and that will be probably our next user experience episode that we will publish.
Excellent.
Looking forward to that one. Yeah.
By the way, Nightwise, I'm Belgian or of Belgian heritage.
Ah, yes.
And I've actually got my genealogy back to the year 1570.
Okay, so back a couple of years anyway.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Oh, very good. Very good. So, how did your name get all messed up, though? as far as the pronunciation is concerned.
Yeah, that dog ran through a lot of yards, so I don't know.
Yeah, okay, well, we'll see. I'm still pronouncing it Chaudoir whenever anybody asks me. So, Tom, until next time, our listeners can go to the articles and show notes at goinglinux.com for more information, detailed instructions, screencasts, and illustrations, and lots of other stuff.
Right. And they can email us with comments, questions, and suggestions. And please remember, if you have a topic you want us to cover, please do as Agro George did and use the Podcast Alley button to leave your topic suggestion while you vote for us on the Podcast Alley site. And you'll find that button right on goinglinux.com.
Right, and you can also send us an audio comment by email, and we'll play that on the show. Our email address is goinglinux@gmail.com, and our voicemail, if you want to send us a phone voicemail message rather than recording it from your computer, you can dial 1-904-468-7889, and on North America keyboards, that spells 1-904 for our tux.
Right, and if you do use the phone method, please speak up or it might drop you right in the middle. If you're talking quietly, it thinks you're not there and it hangs up on you, which is very rude, but that's what it is.
Yes, and remember as well, there's only a 3-minute limit on the message.
So oh, there is.
Don't be long-winded. Okay. Yes, yeah. I found that out the hard way.
Okay. And you can follow our show updates on Twitter and Identica. We are Going Linux, all one word.
You can download the episodes from our website, or you can use the HTML5 or the Flash player to play them right there on the show notes page. So until next time, thanks for listening.
Talk to you later.
Theme music provided by Mark Blasco at podcastthemes.com.